So, George, it's great to talk to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
This is a Project Camelot phone call with George Green, and we want to update everyone on what's happening, according to George, who's always got his finger on the pulse of certainly the economic situation and sometimes even the spiritual. So, George, can you tell me what is going on? We're going to do a follow-up call here with Benjamin Fulford in about a day or so. And he's making statements about September 30th being some kind of very important day in which the U.S. is supposed to come clean on what they owe.
And well, September...
Go ahead.
September 30th is our fiscal year. The government declares all kinds of numbers to everybody, like what their debt is, but they only tell you what is due this year. So you only have, as we're speaking, 28 days or 29 days left of this month. On the 30th, that the next day begins the fiscal year of next year, and that will show some of the debt. Let me explain how this works. Let's say that the government issued a promissory note or a bond in effect. And it was a one-year U.S. Treasury note. And they also issued a five-year Treasury note. The five-year notes don't even count as debt until 5 years. So what is going to come online is all this short-term paper that's happened in the last 6 months. As you know, the government come forth with 60-day notes, 90-day notes. They all come to the head on September 30th. That's the point where not only September 30th from that date, but it also is the escalation of all of the adjustable rate mortgages in the United States, too. So that's going to accelerate the decline in the real estate because people's interest rates are going to go up to the current rates, which are roughly around 7 to 7.5%.
Okay, so what does that mean, though? I mean, from your vantage point, are we talking about one day in which everything crashes, or are we talking about, you know, sort of an ongoing scenario that's already started a while back?
No, what it amounts to is an ongoing scenario. They're not going to crash everything on that day. They're going to try to roll over the debt into the next year. But what happens on September 30th, they got to come clean with all the debt that they have because they're going to roll it over. In other words, if it's like what the government's trying to do now is sell our debt, as you know, to a lot of foreign countries. And so our business is doing the same thing, trying to get rid of their obligations they have here. That, you know, is all the unwinding of the real estate empire, as we talked about. And what does happen at this minute, because September 30th is that important date, is all of these debts that are going to be set up are going to fall on the hands of the new president, whoever we have. You know, and I've told you before, the Rockefellers want Obama in. So what we have to look at is then what is going to occur with the rest of the world. And if the world looks at how much debt has been put into motion and we've exported all of our jobs, then the escalation of the collapse of the dollar will come. And even though the feds themselves are advancing over $2 billion a day to keep this thing afloat, and the plunge committee, which is 8 members of the Federal Reserve, on the floor of the exchange are the ones that are manipulating the market on a world basis right now. And most of the other countries are well aware of this, Gary.
Well, this is outrageous. One of the things that Ben Fulford is going to be saying, or has actually published in a Rents article, I don't know if you've heard it, is that the money has to go back to what is so-called rightful owners, and that the cabal that is basically behind the scenes running the world is asking for the U.S. to come clean on their debt on September 30th. If they don't, they're threatening to impose martial law on the U.S.,
and
launch World War III. Now, does this sound logical, or is this...
Well, let's come to what martial law is. Number one, we have a major problem that's happening. Let's take California, for instance. You got the state, the governor over there has put everybody on minimum wage and put it on a freeze on new hiring because they don't have a budget. Well, when it comes down to the United States, our military is based on having money into the budget. Well, if Congress doesn't declare money for the military to operate, obviously we have to go someplace. Now, if he calls on a national emergency, that's supposing that everybody across the United States or all the military people will stand up. But if they're not getting paid, what do you think is going to happen? massive chaos, Kerry. And that's what we're looking at. The people that are in, that started the militia movement several years ago across the United States, most of those people have gone by the wayside because there's nobody out here to stand up for our country. Now, if you're talking about what could occur, I mean, why did they build these enemy prisoner war camps? Why are the UN troops all over the United States? And they'll probably be activated to act as the police force as you're talking about right now, if they could do it. My feeling is because of what the Bank of International Settlements, which is run by the Rothschilds, it's the 13 families that control the world money, got permission and got it in writing from Bush, allowing them to audit the Federal Reserve. Now, that's that event will occur as soon as Bush gets out of office. That means anytime after November, frankly. So I don't think September 30th is going to cause a big meltdown. I am concerned the first 90 days of next year. And then the Rothschilds will find out how much money has been gone because it's a money thing with them. You know, it's their ego. They've allowed this Federal Reserve franchise to basically create money out of thin air and encumber the entire world. The whole world's involved with this meltdown.
Okay, well, do you see something happening? Because we're getting a lot of our sort of behind-the-scenes Black Project witnesses coming forward to us and saying something is set to happen in October, maybe even the first 10 days.
That's a possibility, and I think more likely is that we're going to get the war started against Iran. Our military is all building up right now to go after Iran, the so-called nuclear things, in order to cause this unrest. Meanwhile, the Soviets have sent, and this is just in the last 2 days, have sent over their nuclear scientists, and the Soviets also signed a $2 billion deal with India to provide them with the new long-range missiles that they have over there. So this is going to be a real unwinding in the next 30 days, frankly. I would rather have this conversation this coming Friday because I have some people inside the Beltway that would be able to bring me up to date because everybody's pulling their hair out, frankly, in Washington. They don't know what's happening.
Well, what about China? I mean, we'd be happy to talk to you, you know, this Friday or next week, whatever works for you, but what about China? Because we understand that China and Russia are doing war games right
That's
now.
Right. Exactly. Russia and China are both doing exactly that. And what is becoming is the United States is notifying everybody over there they want to put all of their missile sites surrounding Russia. And, of course, Putin et al. Are saying, no, we're not going to do that. And they're warning everybody, you know, Putin has already warned Bush and stuff, you do that, and Russia's on high alert right at this minute all over the place.
So do you think that we're going to go to war before the election?
It makes a lot more sense to do that, and then they'd have a spillover then to McCain, et cetera. But they may also, in that case, if they get the war going and the repercussions go that way, they could suspend the Constitution. We wouldn't have another election. You'd have Bush out there, king of the day.
Okay, how much chance do you think that's
going to
happen?
Well, that's a possibility. They made it. That's under the FEMA rules. Immediately, if we have any kind of national emergency, i.e. an earthquake in California or we have a war going on it, it's his prerogative to call a national emergency and suspend the Constitution. For the first 30 days, he's in control. Then after that, there's a UN mandate that the UN takes it over. So we would be controlled by the UN. The head of the UN. That brings it into a second in command at the United Nations has and always been a Russian.
So what would that mean for the U.S.? You're talking about Russia. I mean, if the UN is in control and a Russian's in control of the UN, I mean, control of the U.S.?
Yeah, what it comes back down, the New World Order is nothing more than a socialist dictatorship controlled by the small inter-controlling group. And they have plans to issue a new world currency, a new world everything, because that's even their, you know, the Georgia Guidestones is evidence of that. And if you talk to people overseas, they're all aware of it. I just had a phone call that just came in within the last half hour from Holland, and they're all concerned because Russia now is threatening to, you know, knock off all the oil and all of the energy supplies to Europe if they don't bend. No, that could cause major calamities.
Right. And then Europe just kind of gave in just now, saying they're not going to impose sanctions. Isn't that right? Because of the gas?
That's right. I mean, what would you do if you knew your energy situation was going down? Well, that doesn't go well for the planners behind the scenes, because they've got to get the World War III going, because behind all of this is the population increase on the planet. It's all part of their population reduction scheme and control of the populace and by all the money. Look at all of the jobs and everybody that's been exported out of the United States. They admit that roughly 90% of the corporations in the United States don't pay taxes because they've exported all the jobs. I mean, even what I call a stalwart company like Hershey Candy, has just exported its company to Mexico for production of Hershey bars. So you're looking at the demise of the United States. What are we going to produce, and how can we work on some kind of a trade, and what system's going to happen? The only thing they can do right now, as maybe Benjamin's going to talk about, because we have a bankrupt currency. The rest of the world knows it. The only thing that we've been doing is using our so-called strength against all these people and say, hey, you're going to do it, we'll go attack. Well, unfortunately, Russia has enormous nuclear capability, and we know it.
So is going to war with Iran basically, for all intents and purposes, going to war with Russia? And some people say that the reason, because of that, we're not actually going to do it.
Well, don't count on it. Remember, they'll have somebody else go against Iran, and probably because of the different threats. They might have Israel, which its whole military is our equipment. So you know that if they go after them, it's ours, and we've agreed by our various treaties with Israel that if they go after something, we'll support them in their efforts. So automatically, we're drawn into it no matter what happens.
But you have lots of secret contacts. I mean, to be honest, I don't know if you can come out and say it, but you must have been told that, you know, that certain things are underway.
Well, the information that I have, Carrie, right now, that their World War III is still in the planning right now, and I think what Benjamin will say it, I was expecting them to have something going before the end of September, even before September 30th. The fiscal year thing is just something that most people won't be aware of because they don't understand money anyway. Even the World Bank can't give you a definition of what money is. So if they can't tell you, the International Monetary Fund can't tell you what money is, and the World Bank can't tell you, and that's by their own books, and I have them. Then we have a question is, what is this game that we're all playing, and how do we wake people up to what's happening? And they're under total control now. Everybody's under total control of just a few people up here that are just running our country. And this election farce is exactly what it is. It doesn't make any difference that we get up there, because the anthill is still there. The heads of the anthill are still, they can't do anything more than what the rest of Congress can allow them to do.
So who is behind the scenes? I mean, Benjamin Fulford is basically saying that China is going to create what is a one-world government, and that they will be put in place by 2020, and that they're, he's actually saying, you know, they're a beneficent ruler. I find that extremely hard to believe. But at any rate, I mean, what do you feel about China? We've got Henry Deacon, on the other hand, saying that China and the U.S. are actually not behind the scenes working together on all this.
China, I have their military documents, and they want the West to go ahead and get on with its war. And they're already mapping out. Remember, they have agreements with Canada, so they get all their food up there. They worked out, what they're saying behind the scenes, that, look, it's 5,000 years. It's our turn to rule the world. But they want to get the West to go ahead and do its fighting with Russia, because we're the two major nuclear powers. But the head of China told Bush, he says, you don't know how many nuclear weapons we have, which is true. And so you have to look at that same thing. Now, we know what Russia has because of our engineers have assisted Russia in improving all of their technology in the last few years. So they're way ahead of us, frankly, about 10 or 11 years on the nuclear stuff. They have the best space program. Their space vehicles go up and rescue our astronauts if they get lost up in space. So people have to come to the understanding it's not a little, it's a, you know, less in population. They have problems over there, there's no doubt about it. There's more billionaires in Moscow than any other city in the world right now. So what we're looking at is what's really happening and what play is happening that the American people can recognize and look at. And now the American people are being, frankly, strangled to death by all the high cost. And, oil is down a little bit, but you know what? OPEC had the meeting, and they said they're not going to let it go below $100 a barrel. Well, my sources are saying production costs, the actual physical production cost right now is like $80 a barrel. And it's not that we can't get more oil, but it costs more to get it out of the ground. That's the problem. We're going to be stuck with these prices. We have oil right now, which is further causing a problem all the way down to the foods we have in the United States. And 90% of the cost of the vegetables in the stores right now is due to energy.
Okay, so are we looking at food shortages going into October, November, or is this something down the line next year?
I think we're going to have food shortages right away, and you're probably looking at October, November, and look at the prices of stuff right now. It's almost doubled in price. And I talked to the owner of a whole chain of supermarkets, and he's saying he can't guarantee prices past this month, September. He says because of what they're adding, all these fuel charges on and excess things that are happening all the way around. And look at the airlines are cutting down on all their flights. Even though they're still going, they're cutting down on the flights to different places.
Okay, well, do you think that the Japanese, according to Benjamin, Japanese gold is going to flood the market? Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard about that. There's only so much gold out here, and the problem is that the derivative market is made of people buying on options. There's so many shorts by the three major banks right now, they're going to have to cover themselves right now. So even though gold is down at this minute, it's what I call an opportune time to look at it. It may go down a little bit more, but it's got to come back up again because it's one of the world currencies. I mean, we can play with, the Japanese yen or the Swiss franc or all the rest of them, but basically gold and silver are storages of wealth. Silver has more advantages, but it's because it's used in medicine, it's used in a lot of things, in electrical industry more than gold is. But at this minute, from the historical standpoint, gold is still going to be a place, like I say, for a storage of wealth. And then I think you mentioned the French coming out with their new coins. Well, the French have always had gold coins, but the world hadn't been paying much attention to them right now. But I guess the French are going to start issuing them too. But that has to come right out of their treasury. It's like our gold coins, the American Eagle. We're not making them right now. That's because of the availability of gold. So where is all this gold? When I go out and try to buy some gold right now, there's a wait for me to get it, a couple weeks at least, to get a hold of some pieces of gold. That's telling me that there's something wrong. If the world gold has this much, now I know that a couple tons of gold was moving between the major banks, and that's how they keep track of, quote, arms and drugs that it's moving, because that's the element that they use for payment.
Well, isn't it possible that they're actually, buying up the gold right now because they've driven the price down so low, so they're hoarding it?
No, they can't. We're having the conference here in about 2 weeks of all the major mining companies. I'm going to be attending of that. That's the silver conference and the gold and silver miners of the world. Forget about Japan saying, okay, we had, there's a lot of people that say that Japan got all the gold that went over to the Philippines, and that's not true. Some of it went that way, but others went into other people's hands down here. But we're not creating it. We're getting gold out of the ground right now. They're using it all, but there's still not enough, according to what they're saying, that's going to make a big difference when you come down to physical gold. Where the problem is, there's so much paper gold. That's all the options on the market, and even Kitco and Monex and all the rest of them, that they issue paper, doesn't necessarily mean that they own it because they buy an option or a position on the market. So that's where the problem comes in on the big central banks when they tell them, say, hey, we're going to short gold. In other words, they're going to sell gold that they don't own, hoping that they're going to buy it. And that's what the market is right now, hoping they're going to be able to buy this back later, but there's no available in the physical. There's no gold that's physically available in any big quantities. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to buy $500,000 worth of gold right now. You know what I got offered? $60,000 worth.
Okay.
And this is in the gold market, seriously.
So, well, what's going to happen to that? Is gold going up in price?
Oh, it's going to turn back around again. It's another one of these things where plunge it down because of the paper market again. That's where the option markets are killing all of the commodities. Not only that, it's oil, corn, all of the things that the speculators that are having money, the what I call the greedy people, all they want to do is make money on people's what's happening. In other words, if you can get a loaf of bread for a dollar, and we can tell you that we're going to guarantee you can get that thing for a dollar a year, and they do this by the options back to the, you know, the farmers, and the farmers need some money, so they get advances against these things. It's all paper. Well, the paper shuffle, because of what has happened to the real estate empire, is all coming apart, and it's all coming apart in the what they call the end of the fiscal year, which is also affecting the stock market. So the stock market then is going to have to come up to the bat and then tell people what's really going on. Carrie, here's the situation. Let's say you had 100 shares of IBM today. I'm just using that as an illustration, right? And I'm just going to – okay, you bought 100 shares of – or you had 100 shares you want to sell. Either way, it didn't make any difference. When you sold those shares, do you think that that determined the price of all the other 20 million shares that was outside? That's what it did, though. In other words – all you need is a few shares of stock to be traded at some figure, and they arbitrarily then say all the rest of them are worth that. And that's all going to be coming unraveled this next year. Because what is the real worth of a company?
Okay, so are we talking about a stock market crash a la 1929 or worse?
Worse.
And when are you saying?
Well, that could come up at any time because I'm concerned that when the rest of the – look, I don't know why China and Japan themselves, which own about – the two of them together own what? About $2.5 trillion of our debt, right? If they take the dollar and they're in moving – they're trying to figure a way to move this piece of paper that is monopoly money into something that's real. Well, they're finding out that the stock market's not real. People that are in the stock market right now – I mean – in real reality, 60% of all stocks that are traded right now are in mutual funds or are people's retirement accounts. 60%. And they don't have any voting rights. So now we have the traders playing within a small range, and people like David Rockefeller, between his trust and his banking connections, owns 4.5% of 90% of the world's corporations. Now that's kind of, you look at the interlocking board of directors of the, you know, the major people that we're looking at in the world, you find out they're all connected in some way. So they're manipulating the whole game to keep themselves alive. They could care less about the people in the street. It's only themselves and their assets, but they're getting really killed right at the minute because their assets are coming apart.
Okay, so it's a pretty dire story out there.
It's gloomy. It's very gloomy.
Can I ask you something? We've been also told that there could be what's called a false flag alien invasion scenario in the wind for some time, possibly October, maybe next year. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, I've heard about that, but the ET connections I have say that they're not going to be invading us at all for some time, and that cycle of the so-called invasion or making themselves available is probably 4 years out, the 2012 scenario.
But the fake alien invasion, in other words, your ETs, contacts are telling you that they're not even going to do a fake alien invasion, or they are?
No, if who's going to? Well, the aliens aren't going to do it.
The government.
I don't think they're prepared for that right now. However, the other night it was interesting. I think it was NBC had a feature for a whole hour on ETs and spacecraft. And they're all over the planet right now. I mean, we're kind of being visited by a lot of people. They want to see, the extraterrestrials want to see what we're doing. The scenarios, though, that are done behind the scenes, and then these, again, we're being monitored by the ETs. The information that I'm getting from them is basically that the bad guys on the planet have won at this point, and we better get together with other people of like minds and get into small cities, actually get on an Indian reservation because they know how to get themselves going. And eventually, at some point, the Northern Hemisphere is going to be a nuclear wasteland.
So that's what you're getting. That's unequivocal.
I got that. I got that from the ETs themselves. That,
wow.
And they've advised, they said at some point, because we will have the nuclear, because the winds go from the North Pole to the equator. military, and they don't spill over to the southern hemisphere.
Well, what about places like Europe and, you know, the rest of the world?
We're talking about the whole northern hemisphere. The radiation winds will be going all the way around. But I think that's a little ways out yet. I'm hoping, kind of like the two nuclear missiles that were dropped last year, you know, over in Syria, basically. The Israelis sent up two planes. These were low-yield, what they call bunker buster nuclear bombs. But if they go after Iran, they're going to use some bigger ones to go after this stuff, and that's going to affect things. And radiation, I've got a doctor that's going to be giving me a bunch of information on what the radiation is doing. Well, even the radiation because of the depleted uranium that's in Iraq, how it's affecting people over here. And we're getting that radiation in the air that's going around the planet right now.
Yeah, right. It blows up to Europe, I understand.
Yeah, Europe, and France. It's coming over, and it's coming with all our military troops that are coming back, and their children that are having now are being deformed. I think you know about that. There's videos and stuff out on that occurring. In fact, we published a book. It's called "Bringing the War Home," which goes into all the biologicals and uranium things that happened.
Okay, we don't want to keep you for a real long time here. I know you've got tons of stuff you're doing, but Bill has a few questions, don't you, Bill?
I do, thank you. I've been listening to this in the front row with a great deal of interest, and I've got a few questions. Let me fire them at you in a little agenda, and then I'll remind you of them later. Right at the start, you made a reference to the atmosphere in Washington, implying, I can't remember the words you used, that there was a lot of concern and confusion, and it would be very interesting to hear a little bit more about that. We'd like to ask about your personal plans, if you're willing to disclose them, because a lot of people are watching to see whether you're, so to speak, as good as your word and heading off to Ecuador and staying there because of all the reasons that you explained in our earlier interview. We'd love to know who's going to be the next president of the United States, and we wondered if you had a final message for the ground crew. And so that's my little agenda there. What's happening in Washington, as far as your sources are able to tell you?
Well,
the guys in the agencies, the good guys in the military, what are they concerned about and what are they worried about now?
Well, they're most of our military are doing their duty for our country, as you know. But there's a lot of them that have their agenda because they have this military. There was talk about having a military coup. You probably heard about that last year, that just taken over our government, making it a military dictatorship, if you want to look at it that way, or replan the whole Constitution and get things going. The congressmen in Washington are basically manipulated by the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. All these people, it's all the money. It's kind of like Aaron Russo's movie, you know, From Freedom to Fascism. The congressmen are, the political parties are basically small corporations. The small corporations have put these people into office, like the new lady from Alaska, which, you know, she comes from a town of, 5,500 people. And this is what they're bringing up. Well, that's where the confusion is that's coming up now. Who has put her into that position and what is the reason behind? And I can't, like I said, a little early in the day for me to find out. And I tried to call earlier today for my inside sources to come forth with it, but they happen to be in Congress, in meetings right now. So, and what I'm getting there is I won't get any information there until Friday or so.
We'd love to talk to you then.
I'll let you know what they're talking. You know, behind the scenes, not on what's in the paper, because, you know, the papers just put out what they're supposed to.
Well, but have you got any, you know, intuitions, or have your ET contacts said anything about Palin in particular?
No, they haven't said anything about Palin at all. My other sources are just what I'm getting from Europe, as well as other people calling me. They can't believe that they put somebody that had no experience whatsoever. And then I remind them that when I was asked to be the finance chairman for Jimmy Carter, he was a one-term governor in Georgia. So you have to look at these things. The experience is not necessarily is what is their agenda and what have they agreed to do behind the scenes. And I've been trying to find that out since I even, you know, put her out there, because it's obviously that nobody knows all the facts about this game yet. And I expect that a lot of it will be coming out in the next 10 days.
If you were a betting man, would you bet on Obama?
Oh, yeah.
I think you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, I did. I bet on Obama. And you're also asking me, yes, I have made arrangements to head south. My information I got from EET, so just told me to hold tight right now, basically stay at the minute, because I've got three lectures to do next week, and I've got a couple other places across the country. I'm trying to wake up enough people so they can understand a much bigger picture. So at some point, I could head off down to Ecuador.
Yeah, we want to help you as best we can in waking up as many people who are able to listen to the kinds of things that we're all trying to say here. Inasmuch as you referred to the ground crew earlier, do you have a final message for them that we can help you state here clearly for anyone who's listening right now?
No, the message that we have, and you know, I get people from all over the world calling me on that, and the messages are is to get together with other people to try to at least have a communication going on. You cannot believe how many agendas that are happening to try to stop down any kind of communication that says, hey, there's something else going on. And what we're looking at is that the groups that are forming, you know, I got groups that are 100, some of them are 3, some of them are 10, and they're breaking up because they're finding out the responsibility of, once they wake up to what is really happening on the planet, the responsibility of transmitting that information to their family, who then thinks they're totally nuts anyway. And then because, it, you know, the world is okay for them this week. It's when the economic thing starts really coming apart and we get the war going as the chaos increases, and that's when it's going to happen. So I don't, other than the people that you're helping getting the information, and a lot of them are getting the information. They get it, you know, they go to my website and they're downloading all the basic 3 books on it to get them going. And my lectures and what you people are doing in order to assist people to give them information so they can try to put the pieces together, because there's many pieces going together, and I don't have them all. I have a lot because of my connections that are still around, and they're concerned, they themselves, because they're making arrangements to get out of Dodge, so to speak, and they're looking for places. Like, you're over in Switzerland right now. I have a friend that wants to go over to Switzerland. Will Switzerland be safe? The whole northern hemisphere is going to be a situation.
Okay, so you think that the mountains aren't going to help?
No. No.
Okay. Well, okay, this is kind of a gloomy picture here. We want to, just a ray of hope for you, we're starting a new website called Project Avalon that's going to create a forum where people can connect with other people, have dialogues about these issues, and start creating communities. It's going to have resources with information on, you know, building earth houses and whatever, you know, storing water and whatever is necessary to get through whatever might be coming down the line. So it is called projectavalon.net. You know, I invite you to be one of our first visitors, and certainly you're the inspiration in many ways for it.
Well, thank you, Harry. As soon as I get myself organized this next week, I'll be glad to do that. And there's several little cities across the United States themselves have declared themselves independent of them, and they know what's happening. So many people in there are signing jobs. One person will grow one thing. One of them will try to work on the energy portion. Everybody's working together. And there are new energy devices that are being withheld from the general public that are also starting to come out online. And I think what you're doing is allowing people to facilitate all of that, if we can keep away the greed factor from everything.
Yeah, always an issue. Well, thank you, George. This has been quite an interesting conversation, to say the least, and hopefully it's brought people up to date. We'd love to have another conversation with you, you know, next week sometime, once you've had a chance to touch it base with your Washington or whoever, whatever sources.
What I'll do is I'll call you back. Now, I'm flying out of town on Wednesday, and I'll be in Denver, Colorado, actually, for 3 days for 3 different lectures there, next to where they just had the convention.
Right. Very interesting. Okay, one last question. Gary McKinnon, you familiar with this case?
No, not really. I mean, I know
the hacker that hacked into the Pentagon computers, and they're extraditing him. He went up to the House of Lords. He was turned down. He didn't want to be extradited from the UK to the US. He's afraid of going to Guantanamo, so I wondered if you'd heard anything
No, I haven't
about that case.
No, I haven't heard anything about that, but I know that the new systems they're putting into place right now are going to change all kinds of things, and that they're very concerned about that. Google's coming out with its own search engine today.
Yeah, I heard that.
And that, because of the search engine, because of the information and the streaming quality of videos and information, more and more people are going to the Internet for information than they are in the, well, they know. The new look at CBS, we've got, 6 million viewers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that, now all of a sudden, their whole economic stream is coming apart. And the advertising is going to the Internet. They're not making any money yet. But that's what they're trying to do. Otherwise, it'll be total chaos in what they call the information stream. And it'd be people like you that'll be able to put information out, but people can reasonably take it and say, okay, I can count on that. The problem is how they're going to be able to survive in the days ahead, and that's the challenge, and that's what your other new website's all about.
Right, absolutely.
So we'll all have to work together. This is it's not a one-man job. This is a those that wake up, we have to work together.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, well, take care, George, and we hope to talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, sir. Bye.